by the grace of God. And so we don't ever want to get over the grace of God. Mark chapter number two. And if you found your place, or while you're finding your place, stand with us for just a moment. And I'm going to read these verses. We'll pray and let you be seated. And we want to ask the Lord to take His word and do something great with it today. How we need the Lord's help. I need the Lord's help. And you need the Lord's help today. All right, Mark chapter number 2. And let's begin reading in verse number 15. I will reference again verse 14 in just a moment. We preached that on last week. But let's look in chapter number 2, verse number 15. The Bible said, and it came to pass, that as Jesus sat at meat in His house. In His house refers to the house of the man that He saved in verse 14, the man Levi, also known as Matthew. In His house, the Bible said, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and His disciples, for there were many and they followed Him. When the scribes and Pharisees saw Him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, how is it that He eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Are y'all hearing a theme? Amen. Verse number 17, when Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, oh, I like this verse, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, one more time we humbly bow to pray, asking You, Heavenly Father, that You would move, that You would work in this service this morning. We've trusted You and asked You all week long, Lord, to give us power and unction, and Lord, that we would see and that it would be evident that the Spirit of the Lord was at work. Lord, as we try to tell the old story, Lord, one more time of the Savior and His redemptive love, Lord, in the lives and hearts, Lord, of people like me and, Lord, people like these that are gathered here today, that, Lord, truly You did not come, Lord, to the righteous. You came to sinners. Lord, I'm thankful for that hope and that message, Lord, we have to preach again today. For all that You do for us, Lord, these next few moments, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One preacher said about this text that we've read today that we see the Savior, we see the sinners, and we see the sermon. And I believe that's easily identified in the verses we've read this morning, and no doubt, surely, a message could be preached on all three. The Savior, of course, He's the theme of every message we preach. There is the sinners, and no doubt we could, as we'll see this morning, have our place at the table among them and learn much about them. And certainly the sermon that is preached, a message of repentance, a message of the fact that the Savior came to save sinners and to bring redemption to fallen mankind. And so we could preach on all three of those. And I like that little outline, the Savior, the sinners, and the sermon. But I want to notice this morning the matter of sinners seems to be emphasized in these verses. We've read three verses to you today. And what I would draw our attention to is in three verses, you'll find sinners being referenced four times. In fact, let me point those out to you again this morning beyond the reading that we did. In verse number 15, we find many publicans and sinners. In verse number 16, we find that the Pharisees saw Him, that is Christ, eat with publicans and sinners. And then they're asking the question to the disciples, how is it that He, Christ, eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And then in verse 17, Jesus steps to the forefront of this story and of this text, and He Himself is going to speak, and here's what He declares. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the theme of the sinner is found in these three verses. And I believe this morning these sinners are not unlike you and me, for the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one. We all are sinners. Amen. And when we were sinners, Christ, the Bible said, died for us. And so, my friend, there's a lot that we can learn from these that are called sinners, for we're all sinners. You see, are you calling me a sinner? Who are you talking about in this place is a sinner? Amen. If you got two eyes, two ears, and blood beating through your body, I'm talking to you today. Amen. And I'm talking about me today. We are sinners. Amen. And this text, just unfold the text for a little bit further to get us to the thought we want to preach today. Amen. We'll learn something about these sinners. Notice that these sinners are seeking. These sinners are seeking. Did you catch the last phrase of verse number 15? Where the Bible said concerning these sinners, for there were many. Amen. There were many sinners sitting there with Jesus. There were many sinners that, my friend, are behind the scenes of this text. And the Bible said, Mark said, and they followed him. That word follow means that they are pursuing, they are seeking, they are searching for him in particular. And I thought about this in that one phrase. I think we can say that all sinners are looking for something. Amen. All men, all women are seeking and following after something. Sinners today is just in them. There's a void because of sin. There is a void in their heart, in their life. There's something missing. There is something that is displaced. They sense, though they may not, and we'll look at it in a moment, even be able to recognize it or quite be able to express it. There's something broken in them. And sinners today, they are following, they are seeking, amen, for something to help them with what is missing. Amen. Sinners today are seeking. No doubt this is part of the truth that Isaiah would say in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Amen. Why are so many astray? Why are so many lost in sin? Why are so many so broken and so discouraged and so burdened down and so empty today and longing for more and wondering what is the meaning of life? Amen. Why do they run to the things that they run to? It is because, amen, sinners by nature are seeking something. Amen. These sinners are seeking. I would ask today, what are you seeking? Amen. What are you seeking to fill the void? What are you seeking? Amen. To mend the brokenness in this text. Amen. We find that these sinners found, amen, the one that all sinners really truly need to be seeking and following. And that is to find what you're looking for in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many seek booze and others seek dope and drugs and some, amen, seek fame and popularity. Others seek riches. Amen. Others seek the pleasures this world has to offer in fornication and adultery and living a life and partying and all the things that the world promotes that they can seek after to maybe feel something on the inside. And I say I lived in some of that. I sought after some of that. Amen. Being a preacher, being a child of God and a preacher and a pastor now. Amen. For these 20 years, I can say I've seen many folk, amen, run after all sorts of things that are in this world. They may satisfy some longing for a moment of time. Amen. They may find some pleasure for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. and some even for a few years, but I've watched and observed and studied it long enough to be able to stand and say, amen, anything you seek outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, one of these days is going to lose its luster. It's going to lose its joy. Amen. It's going to lose its thrill. Amen. That you've always known is empty on the inside. Amen. Will be empty until you find a time in your life to seek after Him. I'll say more about that in a moment. The sinners in this text. Amen. These sinners are seeking. And all sinners are today. All sinners are today. Number two, these sinners are scorned. Amen. Did you realize when we read verse number 16, and just some about them scribes and them Pharisees. Amen. There is a disdain. Amen. That arises from their question to the disciples about the Lord Jesus eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. And there's a scorn that leaps off the page out of verse number 16 because, hey man, the scribes and the Pharisees, they don't look like the sinners. They don't do some of the things the sinners do. They seem to have everything nailed down on the outside. And they're the goody two-shoes of their day. They're blown away that Christ would have anything to do with eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. And what they're revealing is a scorn for sinners. Amen. And really, could I say today, it was religion that scorned them. Amen. It was religion that scorned the sinner. Amen. Religion hates and looks down on sinners. It has no time for them and is disgusted to be even seen with them in their presence. You see the Pharisees and the scribes that are alluded to in verse number 16. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, and Brother A.L., that crowd, they prided themselves in their ultra application of Psalm 1. And in verse number 1 of the blessed man, amen, he standeth not in the way of sinners. He puts not his foot in the path, amen, of the wicked. He doesn't put himself in the scene of the scornful, amen, that is the repudiated, the vile, the wicked, the down and out. Amen, the crowd who doesn't have it all together, the crowd that is broke at, the crowd that is empty, the crowd that doesn't look like they look. Amen, they prided themselves that they didn't associate with them. They didn't talk to them. They didn't try to reach them. They weren't interested in helping them. Amen, they had their standards. They had their rules. They had their regulations. And my friend, they are repulsed by the thought of Jesus sitting there, amen, with such a wicked crowd. Amen, can I say tonight or this morning, amen, hopefully we don't preach to tonight, amen, but religion scorns sinners. Amen, listen, you say, but you are a preacher and you're in a church and this is a place of religion. Amen, and I want to go on record today and say I absolutely hate religion. I hate what religion stands for. Amen. I hate had scorned sinners. Amen. I hate had has no time for those that, amen, are the most needy of our society. Amen. Jesus found his sick. Amen. With sinners. Let me say today, amen, I believe one of the reasons religion, amen, had such a scorn, but Jack, in this text for sinners, is that religion realized it could not do anything for them. Amen. It couldn't change them. Amen. You see what we preach around here, we're offering folk. amen, something more than religion. I know what the Word of God said, that there is a true and there is a pure and an undefiled religion. I understand that, but you only enter that by relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you have true and pure and undefiled religion, amen, you don't scorn sinners. You want to seek sinners. Amen. You don't avoid sinners. You want, amen, to try to lead them to the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say today that sinners are still scorned. Amen. Even among the world, they scorn themselves. Amen. Sinners today are scorned because of what they are and what they're not and what they lack in being able to offer society and friendship and certain organizations. But, amen, listen, these sinners, they're scorned, but they don't need religion. Religion can do nothing for them. Amen. Oh, can I remind you what Jesus said, amen, to the Pharisees and the scribes, yes, amen, later on toward the end of his ministry? He said, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Amen. You see, this crowd looked like they had it all right on the outside, and they're looking down their long religious nose at these publicans and sinners. They themselves were still sinners. Amen. You got sinners scorning sinners. Religion can't do nothing for any of them. Amen. What they need is the Savior. Amen. That was a good day in my life when I realized, amen, religion didn't want anything to do with me and religion couldn't help me. Amen. If I was going to be helped as a sinner, amen, I was going to have to get to the Savior, or the Savior's going to have to get to me. Amen. I'm glad. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm glad, amen, He found me when I was a sinner scorned by religion. We see these sinners are seeking. We see these sinners are scorned. Amen. Let me say, amen, number three, and drive this point home. Amen. Personally, and all of us, these sinners are sick. They are sick. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Notice what Jesus said. Amen. I'm not talking about my opinion now. I'm not up here trying to give you something. Amen. That is something I dreamed up in the middle of the night. Amen. Would you listen to Jesus? If you won't listen to me, would you listen to the Savior? Here's what Jesus said. When Jesus heard it, when he heard what religion had to say, he saith unto them, they that are whole need have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. In other words, Jesus said, this crowd of sinners, I'll tell you why I'm here. I am the doctor. I am the physician sent from glory to earth. And I have come, amen, to deal with those that are sick. Amen. Can I say I'm glad that, amen, for the day that I realized I was sick. Amen. I wrote it down this way, Brother Joe. I wrote it down this way. Amen. They are not physically ill, but have sickness of the soul due to sin. You see, they are sinners because there is a sin nature on the inside of them. Amen. They need the great physician. They need the great physician. I love what Jesus said here. Amen. Sissy, you'll like this. Amen. Jesus said, they that are whole, amen, have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And then he made this statement, I came. Amen. You know, in our day, amen, in our day, we wait till we get sick. Amen. We wait till we realize we're sick. And when we get sick enough, then we call the doctor and we got to drive to the doctor and we got to wait in the waiting room for the doctor to have time for us. And then they take us back to that room. Amen. They shut the door and they leave us in there for 45 minutes. Amen. We feel like we're about to die and that the doctor don't even care. Jesus said, amen, that he was the physician.
He didn't wait on mankind to, amen, realize they were sick. He already knew they were sick. Amen. He didn't make them call him up. He didn't make them make the drive to where he was. Amen. He ain't got them in the waiting room. He doesn't put them on hold. Amen. He's the great physician. Amen. That preemptively came where we were. Amen. Because he knew that these sinners were sick and only he could help them. Amen. I'm glad today. Amen. There is a physician for the sick. There is a remedy. You say, preacher, as a sinner and as sick. Amen. You're more sick than you understand. Amen. And I'm not belittling you. That's where I was. Amen. You take the grace of God out of my life. That's where I'd still be. Amen. Sick in sin. Sick. Amen. Rotten to the core. Diseased and plagued. And spiritually dead and deserving of all the judgment of God. Amen. But I'm telling you today, there is a physician. And that physician has a balm. Amen. He has a cure. He has a way to make you whole again. Amen. Even though sinners are sick, thank God there is a physician. Amen. We see these sinners in this text and what they are and how they relate to you and to me. Amen. All these years later, sinners, amen, are still seeking and scorned and they're still sick. Notice, as we pointed out, in 3 verses, 4 times sinners are mentioned. But, amen, in each of these instances of sinners, it is revealing, but the most amazing truth in this text is that every reference to the group known as sinners is always a connection to the Savior. That's amazing to me. The scribes want nothing to do with him. The religious crowd is turning a blind eye. They want to go to the other way. They want to find another table. They want to find another place to eat. They don't have time for them. They don't want to be bothered by them. They almost have a phobia that the sinners are going to rub off on them. I ain't preaching on this, but if all you got's religion, you probably ought to be worried about that. Amen. But if you know the Savior, you're walking with the Savior. Amen. Can I say you can get around some sinners? Amen. With the purpose of reaching them and loving them and befriending them. Amen. Without it messing up and wrecking your life. Amen. That's right. I feel like I ought to preach right there a minute to the church. Amen. Jesus, what an amazing thought. And every time the sinners are mentioned, they're linked to the Savior. Amen. Oh, I got to hurry. Notice that Jesus is seated with sinners in verse 15. He's surrounded by sinners in verse number 15. Amen. Not a handful, not just Levi. Amen. But the Bible said there were many that were there. He's surrounded by sinners. Verse 16, he was seen with sinners. Amen. He wasn't mad friend in some back alley somewhere. Amen. What he's doing is not in the dark. It's not in private. Amen. It's out in the open. Amen. For everybody to see. Amen. He's seen with sinners. He's supping with sinners. Amen. He's sitting at a table. In fact, the scribes and Pharisees say, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Amen. Supping with sinners. That is, he took his place at the table. Amen. The place that represents acceptance and represents a relationship, amen, that represents so many things, and the Savior is willing to be seen supping with sinners. Amen. Can I say in verse number 17, amen, he was searching for sinners. He said, I came. Amen. I came. I came to call. Amen. I came calling, amen, implying that all along he is searching for sinners. I'm reminded that when the Lord saved Zacchaeus later on, amen, in the New Testament, Jesus would stand and say that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, my friend, he is a searching Savior, searching for sinners. Amen. He ain't searching for those who have something to offer. He needs not what we have to offer. Amen. He ain't searching in a trophy case. He ain't searching, my friend, where you find precious stones and metals and things of great intrinsic value. Oh no, he came searching for what? He came searching for the worthless. He came searching for the defiled. He came searching for those gone astray. And like the shepherd who had 100 sheep and lost one and put the 99 in the fold and went and rescued the one, the Savior, amen, is searching for sinners, amen, to this very day. Glad he sought me out. Amen. I'm glad he sought me out. Amen. You say, preacher, he don't even know where I am. Amen. He not only knows where, amen, where you are. He knows what you are. He knows everything about you. He knows your address where you live. He knows your address where you work. He knows where you've been, who you've been with. Amen. He knows everything about you. And he still searches for sinners today. Thankful for that. I'm thankful. Amen. He is found in this text searching for sinners. May I say everything about verse 15, 16, and 17 is absolutely predicated upon Jesus saving sinners. Amen. His supping with them, being seen with them. Amen. Searching for them. Amen. Him sitting with them, being surrounded by them. Amen. All of this, Brother Larry, is predicated, amen, on verse number 14. There he walked by a sinner named Levi. And Levi in his sin, Levi, amen, seeking for something, being scorned by society. Amen. And being sick on the inside. Amen. Jesus walked by him in verse 14 and said, your days of sin is done. Your days of being a reject are over. Amen. If you will believe on me and repent of your sin, amen, Levi followed me. Levi followed him. And my friend, all that Christ is doing with sinners in 15, 16, and 17 is predicated on the truth that Christ came to bring salvation to sinners. Amen. Yes, sir. He came to save. Amen. He came to save. Amen. Amen. That's why he's called the Savior. Amen. You say, you keep saying Jesus is the Savior. Amen. Can I say he is the Savior? Because, amen, we as sinners need saving. And Jesus came that he might save. Amen. All of this, him being seated and surrounded and seen and supping, searching and saving sinners in verses 14 through 17. Amen. Can I say it all proves one point? Jesus loves and came to save sinners. Jesus loves sinners. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. God loves sinners. Amen. He didn't send his Son in the world to condemn the world. We were already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. Amen. He came that he might bring eternal life. Amen. He came that he might bring you and I to the Father. Amen. He came that he could die. Amen. Upon Calvary's hill on an old rugged cross. Amen. Shedding his blood, facing the agony, dealing with the shame. Amen. That he might be slain. Amen. And give up his life and lay it down for you and for me. A bunch of no goods, a bunch of worthless vessels. Amen. A bunch of people that, amen, in sin were absolutely invaluable. Amen. But he laid down his life. I'm talking about heaven's best. Amen. Heaven's absolute greatest gift. Amen. Was laid down in Golgotha's hill. Amen. They buried his body, but he got up the third day and he ever lives and he may be, amen, the Savior of all men. The Bible is clear Brother Larry, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Can I remind you today, amen, that God would have all men to be saved. All men to be saved. Amen. Not some of us. Amen. Not those that had a little something to offer. Amen. But God would have all men to be saved. All men are sinners, and He would have every last one of us saved.
Amen.
What my thought is this morning, dear Lord, there's too much preaching liberty. Amen. Watch this now. Here's my thought. Amen. He wants all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Can I say, Christ in verse number 17 teaches you and I that there is only a certain kind of sinner God can save. So if the Lord will help me, I give you all that introduction, a big long introduction to give you an itty bitty tiny message. I want to preach for a minute, Brother Mike, on the kind Jesus saves. The kind Jesus saves. We're all sinners. We're all lost in sin. You say, I have a hard time understanding that. Well, then you're not the kind that Jesus can save. Amen. Because, amen, there is a kind, and there is a kind, amen, that He can save. And so let me give it to you this way under three headings. Amen. Number one, amen, the kind Jesus came to save. Amen. The one who recognizes his own sinfulness. You cannot be saved until you recognize your own sinfulness. Listen to what Jesus said in verse number 17 quickly. He said, I came not to call the righteous. I came not to call the righteous. He's speaking, amen, to the religious crowd that has taken issue with Him about Him eating and drinking with such people as are sinners. And He looks at them and says, I came not to call the righteous. Now on the surface, that maybe looks like that Christ is confirming somehow, some way, the righteousness of the Pharisees. But can I say He is not confirming their righteousness? He is condemning their righteousness. The righteousness, here's how I need to say it. Amen. This is His way of telling them He cannot help them because they do not see themselves as sinners. He is not, again, He is not confirming their righteousness. He is condemning their righteousness. Because their righteousness was of themselves. They had a self-righteousness that refused and resisted, amen, to hear the message. And Christ had come to bring that, and we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And yes, Christ would save us all. But the only kind that Jesus can save are those who recognize their own sinfulness. We're preaching in a generation and a world that is so self-righteous. They get offended when you preach what I'm preaching simply from the Bible, and we're all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. And they'll argue with you, and they, amen, friend, will stand up in your face and get upset with that, amen. And I want to say to them, you are not the kind that Jesus can do anything for. This all begins at, amen, one must recognize his own sinfulness. Amen, Jesus has said, amen, you're going to have to go beyond your religion. I came to call sinners. Amen, that crowd that knows what they are. That crowd that ain't trying to argue with you about what they is and what they ain't. Amen, they have simply recognized that they indeed are the sinners I've come to seek and save. Amen. You see, a mama eventually has to recognize her own sinfulness. A daddy has to recognize his own sinfulness. A young person today who is in this place, and maybe has come from good stock. Amen. Maybe you've not. I don't care what your background is. Amen. It can be the best or the worst of circumstances. Amen. There must come a day in your life in which you are willing to admit and recognize what God said in His Word about all of us.
Yes, sir.
We're ungodly. We was born ungodly. Until we're willing to recognize that thought and that truth, Jesus, though He be the Savior of all mankind, cannot save you till you recognize your own sinfulness. Amen. Ain't it amazing we can recognize everybody else's sinfulness? Ain't it amazing we can look to those who raised us and point out our faults and flaws and failures and sin and wickedness. And I'm not belittling anything anybody's ever been through. Amen. We all have a story to tell. Amen. But ain't it amazing we can recognize it so clearly in everybody else? My friend, there is no salvation until you for yourself recognize your own sinfulness.
Yes,
it ain't enough that I can recognize it.
Right.
You say, preacher, do you recognize I'm a sinner? Amen. I done told you I believe the Bible. I believe we're all sinners.
Right.
I believe that we all have to have a time in our life, amen, where we recognize what we are and go beyond our upbringing and going beyond what we've convinced ourselves we are and others have said that we are. Amen. Jesus can only save the kind who recognize their own sinfulness. Number two. Oh, I like this point. Brother Joe, the kind that Jesus saves. He saves those who recognize their own sinfulness. But then He saves those who are repulsed by their own sinfulness. They're repulsed. They, to use Jesus' word or an iteration of it, they are sickened by their sinful condition. Here's what Jesus said, they that are ill, they that have been plagued from the inside. Amen. You see, Christ cannot save anyone till they see themselves as sick and become sick of their sin. You don't get saved being happy about being a sinner and the sin you got in your life and, amen, all the booze you drink and the dope you smoke and the way you live your life. You don't get saved, amen, still having a thrill about all of that. Jesus said there'll come a place in a man and woman's life when they get sick of what they become. Oh, they'll get sick of what sin makes them. And I say today is a good day in my life. Amen. When I began to get sick of the path I sold, amen, I got sick of all the secrets. I got sick of all, amen, all the rebellion. I got sick of all, amen, the repercussions that sin was bringing into my life. Amen. I got sick of all of that. Amen. And it was in that moment when I recognized my sinfulness. Amen. And I began to be repulsed and sickened, amen, by what sin made me. And I became the kind that Jesus could save. Oh, that's good preaching this morning. I wish the whole world was here to hear it. Alan Redpath made this statement. He said, there is one kind of person for whom God can do nothing. It is the person who is absolutely satisfied. Oh, listen now. Satisfied with what he or she is at this moment in the sight of God. Can I say that again? Can I put it in my own way? There's only one kind of person God can save. There's one kind of person that God can do nothing for, even though he be Lord and Savior and have immutable power. Amen. It is the man, it is the woman, it is the young person, amen, that my friend has brought into the lake. Amen. And you realize today through the preached word of God that you are a sinner, as we all are sinners, and you recognize that, but you are now satisfied with what you are. That is a person Jesus cannot save. That is a person that, listen, till you come to the end of your road of sin. Amen. Do you realize, my friend, that, amen, this world and all that is in it lieth in wickedness. Amen. And is sin, that until you can see the spiritual side of your life and the decay and the depravity and the death. Amen. And the destiny and the destination that sin is going to lead you down. Amen. You may feel like you're in a broad way. Amen. You may feel like you've entered in through a wide gate. And my friend, you're running full speed, amen, through life. But Jesus said, as many on the broad way, but the end thereof is destruction. Amen. You may be running 100 miles an hour through this life. Amen. But you may be running to hell 100 miles an hour today. Amen. And until you can see what sin has done and is doing to you and become sickened by that, you cannot be saved. Jesus said, you've got to realize you're sick. You've got to be sick. You've got to be sick. You've got to be repulsed. The one who is repulsed by their sinfulness. Everybody okay? The one who recognizes their sinfulness. The one who is repulsed by their sinfulness. Number three, and I'm done. The one who is repentant of his own sinfulness. I came to call, Jesus said, sinners to repentance. This is the message that Christ came on the scene in Mark 1 preaching. It was the message of John the Baptist. It was the message of Peter, the message of Paul. It's been the message throughout the history of the church. Amen. The true church who preaches an unadulterated, pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ did not say, I came to call sinners to be baptized. I came to call sinners to do good works. I came to call sinners to join the church or to turn a new leaf. Oh no, he said plainly, I came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance is a great big word and a great doctrine in the Word of God. I don't have time to exhaust it today. Can I say this? Christ only saves those willing to allow Him to change their lives. Can I say that again? I think maybe that would be a basic way maybe to define repentance. That you must become willing to allow Christ to change your life. Amen. Those willing to turn their back on what they are, amen, by His mercy. Amen. I know I'm getting a little long. We've only been in service an hour. We started 6 minutes late. It's just now 11:36. So it ain't as late as you think it is, all right? Can I show you something? Look with me in, now y'all remember Matthew and Levi. Remember verse 14? He's the dude that gets saved. He's the dude that Jesus said, follow me, and he followed him. He's the one whose house Jesus is in that all these other publicans and sinners, just like Levi was, have been gathering in. It is Matthew, it's Levi, Matthew, who is the one that all of this is taking place in his house. Mark is I don't know if he's there. I don't know if it's something that's been recalled to him. I'm not saying his account is not inspired. But if you want a real good, clear presentation of what happened, you might want to look at the man whose house is being used as the vehicle to drive this whole narrative. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Everybody with me? Oh, God help us. I love this. The Lord showed me this. Studying for this message, I'll be done. Just give me a few more minutes. Verse number 9, Matthew 9:9. And as Jesus passed forth and thence, he saw a man named Matthew. That's Levi now, Mark 2. Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, he saith unto him, follow me, and he rose and followed him. Verse 10 is dealing with the same verses 15, 16, and 17 of Mark 2 that we read a moment ago, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came, sat down with him and his disciples. Sounds like the same thing, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Sound like verse number 16 in Mark 2, didn't it? But when Jesus heard that, he saith unto them, sounds like verse 17 of Mark chapter 2, doesn't it? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's word for word what Jesus said in Mark 2, right? But notice verse number 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. Learn what it means. What I just said, you go learn what that means. Here's what Jesus said. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you see that middle part between verse number 12 and 13, the first part of verse number 13, that's left out in Mark's account. Matthew's the one who's sitting at the table. He's there real close to Jesus. Jesus said, yeah, he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And he did say, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But Matthew said, here's what I heard him say in the middle of that. You boys need to go find out what all of this means. And quoted the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And that verse in Hosea 6, verse number 6 said, And the knowledge of God. What is Jesus saying? Jesus said, your religion ain't done you a lick of good. What makes you think it's going to do them a lick of good? Jesus said, I did not come to give them religion. Didn't come to give them religion. I didn't come to reform their life. I didn't come to give them a new leaf. I didn't come to do anything other than call them to repentance. Now you go find out what that means. And Jesus said, a good starting place. Look back there what Hosea said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, they were so steeped in their religion and their rituals and their sacrifice. He said, you don't need sacrifice. You need the mercy of God. You need to be brought into the knowledge of God. You need to know who God is. And Jesus would teach over and over in his earthly ministry, there's only one way to know the knowledge of God, and that is through Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, sir.
I think one of the things Jesus is saying when he said, I will have mercy, he's saying what you are seeing me do in sitting here with sinners and being seen with sinners and supping with them and searching them and saving them, that is about the mercy of God that changes their life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not asking you today as a sinner, will you change? What I'm asking you today is, will you be willing to let Christ change you? Repentance, oh, can I say this? And candy's coming. We'll bring this to a close. I'm ready to go eat. Amen.
Repentance, the kind Jesus saves, is the one who is repentant of his own sinfulness. Repentance carries a man beyond, and may I say far beyond, religion. And here's what I want you to understand. Repentance gives that man, that woman, that young person a brand new start on life.
Amen.
Repentance, through the mercy of God, clears the account. We've sung about the blood and glory to His name down at the cross where the Savior died. Down where from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Say you think you're something. I don't think I'm anything. I'm telling you today, you take Jesus and His mercy and His grace out of my life and the work He did that led me to recognize my sinfulness, be repulsed by my own sinfulness, and to repent of my own sinfulness. You take that out of my life. I am a nobody headed to and deserving of the judgment of God. But Jesus came to where I was. Jesus called me by name. Brother Larry, He gave me a brand new start on life. I'm 43 years old, physically. 43 years old. I know I don't look it. I'm a 43-year-old, soon-to-be grandpa. I don't look a day over 31. I feel whatever 92 feels like. Tell me, Jack, what's 92 feel like? Amen. 43 years old. But as far as the Savior's concerned, I got saved 25 years ago. He don't see me as a sinner anymore. Say, are you saying you don't sin? That's not what I said. I didn't say I don't sin. You follow me around. You follow me around long enough. Tomorrow, amen, you'll find out I still sin. I was riding down the lake. I'm almost done. Amen. I was riding down the lake the other day. I was fishing. And this guy was coming up on my left side. And I wanted to turn left, go fish back in a little hole back there that I knew had fish in it. And I let off the throttle and he come flying by me. And I'm talking about, Brother Mike, you've been on a boat. He was less than 8 foot from the stern of my boat. And when he come by, he throwed. It was like, Shane, it was like you picked up 2 50-gallon drums of water and just dumped them on me. Buddy, I'm telling you, there's a split second there. If I could have got my hands around his neck, I'd have choked him out. I did every bit of that in my heart. I killed him. I suffocated him in my heart. You know why? Because I still sin.
Yes, sir.
But as far as the Savior is concerned, He don't remember anything about beyond 25 years ago. Why? Because He came to do a work in my life and I yielded myself to that work. And it's all due to His name. I'm the kind He came to save. Now He would have every last sinner in this place saved. I was thinking about it today. I'm no prophet and I don't know people's heart and I don't know where people are with God. I really don't. But it wouldn't shock me today if they ain't more than 8 or 9, maybe 10 sinners here today, never truly been saved. Wouldn't shock me at all. Wouldn't shock me at all. You know, the Lord would have, if it's 20 or if it's 1, it doesn't matter to me if it's 1 or 10 or 20. Whoever's here today that is not saved, Jesus would have every last one of them saved. He'd have the whole town of Newport be saved today. Amen. He's just waiting on one who recognizes their own sinfulness, repulsed by their own sinfulness. They come to a place where they're repenting about their own sinfulness. Amen. I hope that makes sense. Let's stand together. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Heavenly Father, would you help us today? Lord, I believe you've helped us. Lord, we've prayed all week asking. Lord, knowing the subject matter, this message, asking, Lord, that you would do a work and open eyes and hearts to receive. Lord, what only you can do. Lord, we can't save ourselves. Our mamas and daddies and grandparents, as good a folk as they may have been, Lord, can't save us. Lord, in each of these points, we dealt with our own sinfulness. Our own sinfulness. Lord, help us to see that today, especially those that, Lord, are still in sin. As Riley and Candy sang a moment ago, would you allow sin to meet grace again today in some sinner's life? Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed for a moment. Don't always do this, but I've had such good liberty preaching today. They anybody today said, boy, I'm a sinner. I need to get right with God. I need to get saved. Today, Christ has come and he's calling. Christ has come and he's calling. Not here visibly, not here in body, but here in spirit and through his preached word. He's came again, calling not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'll never forget the morning I got saved. Y'all can look this way. I'll never forget. I've never forgotten. I don't know that it's even possible to forget. The morning I got saved, Riley, y'all have heard me tell about it. Y'all probably know the date as good as I do. September the 14th, 1996. 17-year-old preacher's kid. But don't let that fool you now. I was a rebel. In my heart, I was a rebel. All you had to do is let mom and daddy turn their back and I'd be in some kind of nonsense. You know why? I was a sinner. I was a rebel. So that's just what teenagers do. No, I'm telling you, I was a full-blown, certified, bona fide sinner. 2 weeks before I got saved, I walked into a service I'd been invited to, oddly by, she wasn't my wife at the time because I was 17, she's 17, but she'd become my wife. She invited me to a youth meeting. I was crushing on her, and but Jack, I thought, I'll go. I'm not interested in no preaching or any kind of youth meeting or anything. I'll go so I can sit by that pretty girl. That's what I did. God bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. I lie not. Took my seat. They did all their little silly songs and all their fun time and they hoorayed. When all the hoopla was done, they got that man of God up there. He opened the Word of God and he began to preach. And the light came on. I didn't realize how bad a shape I was really in till the light came on. One message. I'd heard thousands of messages growing up. That message began to shine the light. For the first time, Brother Maurice, I could recognize what I was. I didn't get saved that night. So you didn't get saved that night? I didn't get saved that night. Somehow I found a way to walk out of that service. I went, they had ball, and we played ball, and we had a good time. We sat around, laughed, and cut up. I made my way home that night, Got home, walked up them stairs and got in my bedroom. There wasn't no ball bouncing. There wasn't no pretty girl to entertain. There wasn't no friends around. There's no games and no silly songs. I turned the light out and I pillowed my head. God, the Holy Ghost, come by and said, "Are you sick of it yet? Are you sick of it yet?" For 2 weeks, it's probably the most miserable, hard, dreaded 2 weeks of my entire life. I'm 43 years old. And for 2 weeks, I labored under conviction, sick of sin and recognizing I was a sinner, but resisting the work of repentance in my life. September the 14th, 1996. This ain't everybody's testimony. This is mine. September the 14th, 1996. A little after 4, somewhere around 4:30 that morning, I was awake, weeping and crying and sick of the conviction, sick of the sin, sick of not being right with God. Rolled out of my bed and bowed my knee and called on Him. Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repented of my sins. I don't even know how I can change, but if you can change me, here's my heart. Say, what happened? I rolled out of the bed a sinner. On bended knee, I cried out to Him, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." When I got up just a few minutes later, got back in the bed, I was a saved 17-year-old young man. Made right with God. I ain't been perfect since then, but I've been different. I'm not everything I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And I thank the good Lord above. Give Him all the glory for what He's done. He's still saving sinners. There's still a kind He's looking for. Still a kind He's looking for. He's looking for them all, but He'll only save that kind we've told you about today. Amen. Well, amen. That burden's off my heart. It's on you. If you're saved today, I trust you'll leave thankful for the work Jesus did for you. If you're not saved, I really pray you ain't got to get saved here. It's a good place to get saved. It ain't got to be here. I just pray you leave here thinking on what you've heard. Thinking on what you've heard. We probably got church members around here need to be saved. Might be some church kids around here need to be saved. Y'all believe that? I believe that's possible. Amen. It's got to be real. It's got to be personal. Amen.